It has been an interesting week around here. Pastor Benton shared how he officiated a funeral for a young man, and we've also experienced something in our own life that is unique. And this week, that I'm glad I could be a part of it, and at the same time, I hope I never have to be a part of something like this again. There's a gentleman, a young man. He's 38 years old, who is in South Carolina. Who years ago. Christy and I had the privilege to be a part of his world and officiate his wedding and so on and so forth. We were his pastors. And a couple of years ago, he was arrested, and he is currently on trial for murder. The situation is terrible. He has not denied that he did the heinous act. The one thing that is a mitigating circumstance is that mental illness has been part of his life for many years on both sides of his family and in his own world. But in his own world, it was untreated. And until he went to prison 4 years ago, and now his trial is occurring now. Tuesday, I received a phone call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon saying, "We need you on a flight at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to speak on this young man's behalf." And the state of South Carolina is seeking the death penalty for his case. And so it is a serious, obviously very serious situation. And so Wednesday morning I got on a flight. And I've been there since, got home somewhere around 1:30, 2 o'clock yesterday morning. Spent the last several days speaking with him, praying with him. His name's Tim. Praying with Tim, praying with his family. Ministering to his family, doing what we can to bring hope and healing and some sense of peace. I ask for you to pray for the Tim and the Jones family, that you would just lift them up in your prayers. It's been a heavy, heavy week, sitting there being testifying in the case and going through all, sitting with attorneys for hours at a time. Trying to help them spiritually as well as anything else. I've had the opportunity to pray with several attorneys that I don't know if they pray very often. Some attorneys do. I'm talking to some right now, so I'm being careful. But it has been a very trying, very weighty thing over the last couple of days. And I think it's fitting in this series of scars, because over the last few days I've been sitting in a place where I've watched prisoners walk in and out, marched in and out in lines chained together as well as individually. I witnessed a gentleman coming out of a courtroom, big, rough-looking guy, tatted up on every way, and I watched him just crumble to the floor, sobbing and weeping and crying out, having been told his sentence, and it's just a place that seems hopeless in many ways. I watched Tim as he sits there, and his whole world is examined in every way. And let me just encourage you in this. If you are one who deals with depression or mental illnesses of different kinds, in the case of Tim, it's schizophrenia. And so if that's your situation today, I want to encourage you, don't out of pride refuse help. Seek help. There's no shame in getting help for the situation that you're in. And while the vast majority of people don't go as far as Tim has gone and doesn't deny what he's done, then most people won't go that far. You can live a healthier, more solid, more stable life if you'll get the help that you need and get it as early as possible so that you can make the most out of your life as possible. I'm watching a 38-year-old man who at best will spend the rest of his life in prison, 5 different life sentences. Or, I don't know if this is best either, maybe they'll take his life and he'll go on to be with Jesus. Because while the world may not forgive what he's done, Jesus can. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is here to save and forgive. So that's what I've done this week. What have you done? Yeah. Sorry, I just got to lighten it up just a minute. They don't teach you this stuff in preacher school, do they, Pastor Benton? No. Yeah. Praise God. But it is a place of woundedness. It is a place of scarring. And that's what we've been talking about through this series. We're looking at how to deal with the marks that life leaves on you. Paul understood scars, and we've used Galatians chapter 6, verse 17 as kind of our launching scripture, where Paul actually points to his scars. He says, "For I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus." He had moved from wounded to scarred, and he was not ashamed of his scars, but he understood the power of the scars that were in his life. And so he used them to testify of his allegiance to Christ, testify of who he followed, who was his Lord. So we found that in this series that Paul lived a life with scars. We found that Israel, also known as Jacob, died with scars. The last we see him is he's leaning on his staff in worship, scarred, limping, but yet still worshiping, having learned to live beyond his scars. But sometimes there are moments when God does more, where God just goes the extra step and he takes the scarred person and he makes them a whole person again. And we want to look at that a little bit today. And if you're a note taker in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes. And I always encourage you to do so. Our text is from Luke chapter number 17, where the Bible gives us a unique story of 10 lepers. And we'll read it together. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men, could you say 10 men? 10 men, if you're in South Carolina, you say 10 men. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed for their leprosy, of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, can we say one of them? One of them. When he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God." He fell down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." So here's our big idea today. Big idea is Jesus can make you whole. Jesus can make you whole. I said this is a unique story, and it is, because we have many examples of Jesus healing people throughout Scripture. We even have stories of Jesus healing other lepers in Scripture, but we don't really have many stories that show us the difference between someone who is wounded, someone who is scarred, and someone who is made whole, all in one place, like we do in this particular passage. We have 10 men, all of them lepers, all of them going through the same issues, having the same problems. Now we know, I told you last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that the word leprosy in Scripture was used to describe a number of different skin ailments, but all of them required the same thing of the individual. They were separated from their families. They were separated from society. They had to walk through the streets, or any time they were in a place with other people, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean, and so people could move out of the way and not be touched and infected by them. And so you have all of these things going on. It's a very difficult place to be, a very hard life to live. In fact, not only were they scarred on their bodies from the diseases that they suffered from, but can you imagine the scars that they had internally from having to consistently declare themselves unclean throughout their experience with these diseases? Can you imagine today if you had to declare yourself repeatedly and publicly for the thing that debilitates you the most? If you had to walk through saying, high blood pressure, high blood pressure. Gout. So that people can move away if they don't like that thing that you're afflicted with. That's physical stuff. What about if it was the spiritual stuff, the issues of the soul that you deal with? Lustful thoughts. I've noticed in every service the laughter drops off increasingly. I'm a liar. Liar here. You start off your business meeting, liar. Now let me tell you about this situation that I've got for you. It's a difficult thing. And the number of relationships lost and the number of the feeling of separation that you would have. Jesus never avoided the leper. As far as we can see in Scripture, he didn't avoid the leper at all. In fact, we have some situations where he even touched the leper, which was completely counterintuitive and not what he technically, socially should have done. But he did, and he brought wholeness and healing into their lives, which was beautiful. But these men see Jesus, and maybe they had heard of him healing lepers in the past, and so they said, hey, we want you to do something for us. And so they began to cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're crying for mercy for their lives. And Jesus turns to them, and in his response, he doesn't really address their cry for mercy, nor does he specifically, does it even say he healed them. It says that he gave them a job to do. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourself to the priests. Now, when he tells them to go show themselves to the priest, he's telling them to fulfill the law of Moses, which said that if you knew that your leprosy, that your disease was no longer spreading, therefore, you know, you were now healed of this, you had gotten over the disease, as it were, you had recovered from the disease, that you could go to the priests, and you would then go through an 8-day process. The 8-day process included shaving yourself so you could see all of your skin. It included washings, many washings. It included sacrifices. It included an entire process that after 8 days, the priest could look at you and say definitively, you are clean now. The disease is no longer spreading. You are now clean. And so now you could rejoin society. You could move back into your house with your family. You could become what you used to be as long as the disease hadn't debilitated you too much. In this situation, the Scripture doesn't say that Jesus touched them. It doesn't say that he healed them even in that moment. It says that in the journey, they realized that they were healed. The word healed there is yaomai, and it means cured. So they continue their way. I can almost hear them encouraging one another. Come on, let's get to the priest. Maybe they're saying, go a little faster. I don't know what their debilitations were. I've told you the story before of my mom in the market in Manila. The woman came to her begging for money. And she had a hood over her head, but as a small child, I was very short. And so I looked up into her hood because I heard my mother gasp and then scream. And I looked up and I saw this woman where leprosy had taken her nose. And she didn't have a nose. It was just a gaping hole there where her nose should have been. And it's an image that I will never forget, and it affected my mother. And so this woman is looking for money, and then she quickly left when my mother screamed. And it wasn't intentional on my mother's part. It was just a shock all of a sudden. And so I don't know what the debilitations may have been in the lives of these men. Maybe they had a foot that wasn't there anymore, or I don't know. So we don't know. They could have been going a mile or 5 miles or 10 miles. There's a lot about it that we don't know, but it's in the going that they realize that they are now cleansed, and they're crying, unclean, but I can almost hear them in my own mind saying, unclean, but not for long. Unclean, but we're on our way to the priests. And this entire process is going on, but as the Bible says, they realized that they were cleansed, realized that they were healed. 9 went on to the priest, and 1 turned back to Jesus. And I have 3 thoughts concerning this that I think can apply to our lives today. And thought number 1 is this, that healing often occurs in the journey. A word from Jesus can change your life entirely. A word that you hear is powerful, and it can affect your mind and your heart. But a word followed can change your life entirely. Jesus spoke the words, go show yourself to the priests. These men heard the words and then followed the words. They were in the process of going. In fact, the translation that we just read said, as they went. In the Greek, it says, in the going. In the process of going. And I frankly admire their willingness to go, because the scripture doesn't say that Jesus healed them and they knew they were healed, then they went. He called them to an action before they ever saw the result. And I wonder sometimes how many healings that you and I delay or even avoid entirely by arguing the process that God has us in. I wonder how many times that we have said, my heart's broken and I want to get into a relationship. And Jesus has called us through his word. He says, here are my rules for healthy relationships. Here's the going. Go do these things and you can have a healthy relationship in your life. And we say, no. Bring us the healthy relationship and then we'll follow your plan. How about in our finances? We say, give us all the finances we need, and then we'll start following your plan. How about as a career situation, either as maybe you're the employer, and you're saying, God, bring me the best employees in the world, and then I will follow your plan for being a good employer. Or maybe it's the flip side, and we say, God, give us the greatest boss in the world, and then we will be the employees that you have directed us to be in your word. We're asking him to give us the end result where he's calling us to the process that he's designed for our lives. We say, we want to see our wounds turn to scars, and then we will go show ourselves to the priests. But Jesus is saying, go show yourself to the priest. And it's in the going that they realized that they were healed. Again, that word is yaomai, to be cured. The disease wasn't progressing any longer. Wounds were healed. Tissue had covered the broken places. And now they know that they're moving forward in a place of healing. We want the miracle to materialize right now. We want it to be instantaneous. And sometimes God does that. But oftentimes miracles take time. It does not change the fact that it's a miracle just because it took a little more time than what we desired. Praise God. My call to you today is to take the journey. Take the first step. In whatever area of your life you're working in and working on, take the first step. And then look at yourself. If you realize by examining your life, you still haven't been, you haven't been healed. There's still a wound there. Take the second step. Take the third step and allow God to heal you. It could be that He heals you in the going. And that brings us to thought number two, that Jesus can heal you and make you whole. And I've separated the two because healing and wholeness are not always the same thing. In this story, we find 10 lepers being given a task by Jesus, which they are following. 9 of them see that they are healed, and they continue to go to the priests. At that particular moment, you have 10 men who now know that the disease that they've been afflicted by for however long is no longer spreading. They are going to be declared clean by the priests. Even though they would be clean, the scars of leprosy would remain in their life. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Simon, who the scripture says was a leper. He was formerly a leper. We see him whenever we see the lady kneeling at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet with her hair. And we talked about scarred people recognizing scarred people, wounded people recognizing other wounded people. And maybe it was because Simon understood what it was like to be scarred and wounded in his own life that he had a lot of grace and mercy for this woman who was called an immoral woman, probably a prostitute. And he was saying, "You're welcome here because I know what it's like to be the outcast. You're not an outcast." I hope this church is always a church where the outcast is welcome. That it doesn't matter what your name is, it doesn't matter where you've been. That whenever you're in this house, you're here because we all understand that everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we all deal with our own issues. We've all got our issues, our pasts and our problems. And so when people are in this house, this is a no shame zone. It's a no judgment zone. It's a place where anybody can kneel at the feet of Jesus and say, "Here I am, Lord." And know that His grace and His mercy is all complete and it will cover everything. I pray that this house is always that house. And so Simon was a leper, but the scars of leprosy remained in his life. He was always recognizable as being formerly a leper. When Jesus sees this man coming back to Him, He says, "Is anybody else going to come back and worship? Or is it just this one man?" And then He says to the man something unique. He says, "Go, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Now, we said the other word for healing there is yaomai. When Jesus says to this one man, "You're healed, your faith has healed you," He uses the word sozo. And that word sozo means to be made whole. Two different words. They both can be translated healing properly. But one of them, sozo, can also be translated whole or saved. Now we see in the acts of Jesus or in the commands of Jesus that He Himself is treating this differently. He uses a different word, and He treats it differently. Because whenever this man is looking at Jesus, Jesus says, "Stand up and go your way." When He spoke to the 10 lepers, He said, "Go show yourself to the priests. You're at the beginning of a process here. You're going to be declared clean, and you're healed." To this one man, He says, "Go your way." He doesn't give him a destination. He says, "Choose your own destination. Your faith has sozo. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. This is salvation. This is wholeness in body, soul, and spirit. This is completeness." So how was this man different than the other 9? I believe that when he went back to Jesus and knelt at His feet and worshiped God, I think that God made him literally whole. I spoke to you about the woman who was missing her nose due to leprosy. I believe that if this man was missing digits, I think those digits just grew back again. I think that if he was missing toes, that those toes just grew back again. I think if his nose was gone, I think a nose reappeared in its place. If God could create your body the first time, God can restore your body to wholeness in the process. If God could breathe life into you the first time, then God can restore wholeness to the life that you have, no matter what your situation may be. In your life, God will heal your wounds. And sometimes he makes you completely whole. Healing comes in the journey. Wholeness comes in God's presence. It was in his presence that wholeness came into your life, his life. And you might say, well, how did that happen? And I would tell you, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. God is God. And he does things beyond my ability to understand or even explain. But I can tell you that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. There's wholeness. There's completeness there. And your faith, as you are walking out your journey, the way you respond in faith makes a difference in how Jesus responds to you. What you experience from him. He didn't love this guy more than he loved the other nine. He wasn't less concerned about them than he was about this one man. But the man's response caused Jesus to say, I'm going to go one step further in your life. And that brings us to thought number three. That gratitude is the prerequisite for wholeness. Gratitude is the prerequisite for wholeness. Faith allows wounds to become scars. And gratitude allows scars to fade. Gratitude is putting your plans and your needs aside in order to honor another. Last week in the last service, I didn't tell this story in all the services, but I spoke about a wound in my own life. The wound in my life was caused by my father. And I never told the story publicly until last week for the first time in that last service. But I did talk to my dad about it to make sure that he wasn't upset about me telling the story. I don't want to dishonor him. Years ago, after many years of being a pastor and so on and so forth, my father had an affair. And in doing so, ended up stepping out of ministry. And for years, and he's restored to ministry today, and I praise the Lord for that. But he had stepped out of ministry, and the wound that was there was great. The hurt that was there was deep. It changed my life. It changed our family's life. It changed the dynamic of life entirely. And while I retained a relationship with my father, it was hard to have a relationship with him without there being all kinds of subtexts and feelings and griefs and hurts. And the wound was there. It was deep. But over the years, the wounds began to heal and they became scars. But one day I was thinking about it in prayer about it and just trying to deal with it in my own mind. This is years later, but I was still wrestling with it. How many know what it's like to have an issue in your life that go on for years and you're still wrestling with it and you wish that you could just get over it and move on, but you're struggling to do so? You don't have to say amen, but it's an amen, I know. I can feel your amen. And so here I was working on this, trying to get over it. And one in this moment, I just felt my mind shift, my spirit shift, and I started realizing how much I had to be grateful to my father for. You see, I stand as my own man for sure, but I didn't start as my own man. I started as the son of a father. And I was able to do things. I preached my first sermon when I was 16, and I preached it for my father. He said, I want you to preach next week. And I said, okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, you thank the Lord that you're hearing me today and not then. You think it's bad now. You should have heard me then. It was real bad. And yet he gave me that opportunity. I started receiving phone calls from other pastors to come go preach youth conferences and minister around the world in different ways. And these were opportunities that guys my age weren't getting. And the only reason I was getting those opportunities was because of my father. He taught me to love Jesus more than anything. He taught me to step out in faith. I am who I am because of my father. I'm not dismissing my mother at all. Don't misunderstand, but I wasn't dealing with the wound from my mother. I was dealing with the wound from my father. And when I learned how to be grateful for my father and for what my father had given me, I started seeing those scars begin to fade in my life. And today, my dad and I have a great relationship. I'm very thankful for that. But I had to put aside my own thoughts, my own hurts, my own fears, my own agendas, and learn to be thankful. Can you imagine what it must have taken for this man? What it have taken for this man who was a leper? He's now cleansed, and he's going to the priest. In 8 days, he can go back to his family. But he's got to get the process started. And at this point, he stops. And everybody he's been hanging out with for however long, his peer group is still running. And this guy stops. And he goes against every self-interested ideal. And he turns back to Jesus. And we don't know. I don't know if he had already walked 5 miles or 10 feet. But I know that he makes his way back to Jesus to worship. He delayed his personal progress. He separated himself from his peer group. And yet, the benefit that he received was massive. Wholeness was restored to his life. In your life today, intentionally express gratitude to God for your healing. Intentionally express it. It's not always easy because self-focus pushes us towards the things that the wounds keep us from. So maybe in your world right now, you're saying, I've been wounded in the area of relationship, and I can tell you that that's my story, that's many stories. And so self-interest says, well, if healing comes in the area of relationship, then I'm just going to rush into that next relationship. Instead of going back, taking that moment with Jesus, I'm just going to rush into that next relationship. How about a career situation? Finally, healing has come into my life. I'm not whole, but I'm healed. And so I can get that next job. I can get that next career going. I can get that next thing happening. Instead of taking that minute, the Lord is worth serving whether we are wounded, scarred, or whole. He's worth serving anyway. But when we develop the faith to worship, He can bring a sense of wholeness and completeness in our life that doesn't come any other way. How do you know that you are whole? You know that you are whole when there is no marks of the trauma found in your life. So as a veteran, when the car backfires, you don't duck anymore. You might be shocked to know how many veterans I have talked to, counseled with, prayed with over the years that are so traumatized by the things they've gone through in war. How about the person that's abused? Whenever your abuser is looking at you in the face and you don't shrink back from them anymore. Or that hand is raised. You ever see a dog that's been abused? You just raise your hand like this and they cower down. I know people who react the same way. And maybe they've learned how to stiffen their resolve, and when the hand goes up, they don't actually go anywhere, but inside they're cowering down. But all of a sudden you find that you're not cowering anymore. You find yourself in a place where you thought love would never come into your life again, but you find yourself falling in love. You thought wholeness in your finances would never be there again, but suddenly you start seeing your finances turn around. You thought you would live afraid for the rest of your life, but now you realize that you're not afraid anymore. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Those are hard statements. Who can live like that? Those who are whole can live like that. And so what I believe today, what I'm trusting today, is that as we worship, as we express gratitude, that the work of the Holy Spirit will be operational in our lives, and things will begin to be restored to you that seemed lost forever. This week we're going to be releasing, in fact, it released this morning, the video testimony of Miss Bernice Buckley. She said to call her Bernie, and so I do. It's an incredible story of healing. You see, for the last many months, she's been going through this process where they found tumors on her ovaries. And she went through a whole bunch of different tests, not one or two. She went to great doctors and surgeons. And they told her the way to deal with this is we must do surgery on you and to remove all of this and make sure that we get all the cells and everything else that's going on there. And so Miss Bernie said, okay. So she and her family went up to the Ann Arbor area, and there she had her surgery. And they said to the family, this is a four-hour surgery. And we want, so be prepared for 4 hours. After an hour and a half, the doctors went into the waiting room, called the family together, and said, we want to talk to you. And so they went into another room, and they said, okay, Miss Bernie has done well. We're done with the surgery, and she can go home tomorrow. And the family said, wait a minute, what about the tumors? We want to know about the tumors and, the other cells that may have been around the tumors and so on. And the doctor kind of glossed over that and just said, yeah, everything went fine. She's going to be great. And now you can just take her home tomorrow. She's going to be fine. But the daughter was not willing to let it go at that. And she said, no, I want to know about the tumors. Tell us about the tumors. The testing and you said other cells and all the other stuff that went on there. And so the doctor looked at her and the doctor said some words that I've never heard a doctor say, and doctors rarely ever say. And if you want to know what the words are, watch the video on Facebook. And if you don't have Facebook, we're going to post a link to it on the website and you can find it. You're welcome. God did a beautiful work in her life. And we want to encourage you with it. But He brought wholeness into her world. And she worships God throughout. If you know the Buckley family, you know they are a faithful family. And they are worshiping all the way through this. I don't know what you've got going on in your world. I don't know the kind of wounds that you've had. I don't know the kind of scars that you bear. But I can tell you this. It will be in worship that suddenly you will realize, I am not scarred anymore. The restriction of the scar is gone. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, we've gone from wounds to scars, from scars to wholeness. I thank you for the testimonies that we've been receiving throughout the month of people dealing with wounds, people recognizing their scars, people opening themselves up and saying, here's what God has done in my life. But Lord, I'm asking you right now, in a moment of worship, would you do in lives what only you can do and speak sozo over their world? Wholeness, mind, body, spirit. That a completeness would cover them in the name of Jesus. That when others look at them, they would never be able to tell that there'd ever been leprosy in their life, that a wound had ever occurred. I pray, God, that you do in this moment what only you can do. I thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Work in the innermost part of humanity, work. In the authority of the name of Jesus, I say thank you. Thank you. We worship you, mighty God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, my Jesus. We worship you. We praise you, your name that's above every name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence in this room right now. Let wholeness come over your people.